One, two, three. Good. Is it coming on? See, that gives me comfort because Nature Nate mic'd me up a minute ago, and then I realized I had to go to the bathroom. And I had this big fear over there that... So it was actually very relieving that it was muted. So. Anyway, I just want to say briefly, it is always really a joy to be at CBS. It's not like just another chance to speak. It's a chance to really engage in God's work, because just through the years, he's demonstrated over and over again that he works here. And he works here because there's faithful servants who really seek him. And that goes on, and that's just a consistent thing. And so the opportunity to be part of that and just enter in and be some portion of that is always of value. And I think those of you that might be new need to know how much the staff and Paul and Virginia pray for you, for us, before you even get here. Pray for this week. And it's not about keeping you busy and just having fun. It's about encountering God while you're here. And that's what's really energizing about coming to CBS. So those of you that are new, we're just really glad to have you and to see you. I love being on the boat on the first trip over here and seeing those that are new, because I just think, wow, there's a lot in store for them. And you can't really explain it till you just experience it. And so now you're going to get to experience that. The other thing is, you know, we use small groups in our church quite a bit for our ministry. And I like to see our small groups as, you know, we do our best. People sign up for different small groups, and we tweak them and scoot them around and put the groups together, kind of like what Virginia does for our small groups here. But I like to see it once all the human effort is done and finished, that it's really that God assigned those groups for that year to work together. And so I would like us to have that attitude this week, that you've been assigned to be here at CBS this week. And you've been assigned to be a part of this group. You've been assigned to be a part of a small group. And whether you know that person next to you or whether they seem a little annoying or something else, it doesn't really matter what you think. You've been assigned. You've been assigned for a week, you know? And see what the Lord has in mind. And I think it would be great for us to open up in prayer with the attitude of what happened with little Samuel. I don't know if you remember the story of Samuel, but his mom, Hannah, couldn't have a child for many, many years. And she said, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. And she did that. She gave her child to the priest to live in with him. And little Samuel, that child, heard the Lord's voice call his name Samuel. And he kept jumping up and going into Eli and say, what do you want? And Eli's saying, I didn't say anything to you. And then he'd go back and sit down, Samuel, and that happened three times. And so finally, Eli said this, hey, Samuel, the next time this happens, say this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I think that'd be a great way for us to start today. It's not about this session. It's about this week. It's about what God's doing in your lives. And to make that a statement, to say, Lord, speak to us in all kinds of ways. Speak to us through the people that we're with. Speak to us through our children. Speak to us through anything that happens here. So I'm going to ask, I don't even know which two of you, but I'm going to ask two of you to lead us in prayer as we begin this week in this assignment together to hear the Lord and to listen to him and respond to him. So let's pray, and just two of you lead us in prayer.
Father God, we come before you. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this week, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your grace and mercy, and just your love that you've bestowed upon us just by being here. here, Lord, and for us to be able to be here. Just thank you for these good people that put on this camp. We thank you for Virginia. We just thank you for Virginia and Paul. We thank you for the staff. We thank you so much for just the opportunity to come here and listen to you. Go before us, Lord, and just minister through us, to us, through others, for others, Lord. We just ask that you just do a mighty work this week. And we just thank you so much for your goodness and for Pastor today, Dave, Lord. And we love you so much for just having us here. So again, just go before us, Lord, and just do a mighty work and help us to minister to one another and help us to be good servants for you, Lord, and to you.
We pray this in your name, Father. Amen. Thank you. Well, just real briefly, for those of you, it's great to reconnect with those of you that we've been able to connect in the last few years. It's a real treat to get to be again with you. Those of you who we've not met yet, maybe it might be helpful just to know a couple things about us. It might be easier to listen to or something if you know some background. So just real briefly, my wife and I... it will be 24, well, it will be 25. We've been married 24 years, and this coming one is our big, I guess that's silver, is that right? Is that silver? Yeah, okay, all right.
Silver, yes.
The real condensed version is we met on a blind date and we're married 7 months later. That doesn't sound like using a lot of common sense, but we'll talk more about that as we go today. But the thing that is so good for us is it's one of the clearest God things that he's done. It was almost one of the loudest voices of God in our lives through the years that he just put it together, and it gave us freedom to do that. And we'll get to share maybe a couple of things about that as we go. But the thing that's really enjoyable about the Lord putting it together is we balance each other so much. We're very different, but in very much in need of one another. Carrie is very organized, very intentional. She in fact, that's one of the problems I have with this week is the subject matter is one of my weaker areas, being intentional. I'm not speaking to you as an expert of being intentional. You know, in the basketball world, I like basketball. That's where this comes from the basketball court, by the way. But in the basketball world, sometimes the best coaches aren't the ones that were the really naturally good players because they just naturally did it, and they're frustrated at other people that don't get it the way that they get it. And oftentimes, some coaches are good when they are the first one off the bench or had to work at it really hard. And so I don't know if I'm the right person to do it, but I will tell you this. I'm working at this intentionality harder than my wife because she does it naturally. She's intentional. She's structured and organized, and she keeps me in line and lets me know all kinds of things that to pluck when I need to and things like that. I do add something to the equation, though. She's not the only positive person in the relationship. I add this other side of I'm more free-spirited, and whatever comes my way, we'll make it go. That's who I am. That's just kind of naturally. In fact, we'll even probably have fun doing it. You know, so shoot from the hip. Don't be thrown off by any changes and tensions and stuff. So the two of us go really well together. But what's interesting is both of those sides have negatives to them. You realize? So if you were to look at the negative side of my ever so, you know, can shoot from the hip and do it, it's that I don't get a lot done. I get some things done, just not as much with the influence of my wife. I'm getting way better. She is really helping me. She's balancing me in that. And the things that on the negative side of her, she has less fun than she should. She's always worrying about accomplishing something. That's just how she's wired. And sometimes, you know, very rarely when you have kids, you all know this, you're gonna catch this. When you have kids, those times to just let everything go and be relaxed and fun and maybe even close and intimate together, they're small and few between, you know, it's hard to get there. And we might have that opportunity, and I'm looking into her eyes, and I might even sneak a little kiss on her cheek and something, and she'll look at me and say, "Did you know Stater Brothers has whole chickens on sale for 79 cents a pound?" I used to, when we first got married, I'd go, "What?" And now I just say, "Yes, yes, they do, they do." But there's the balance of us. Without her, I wouldn't get as much done. Without me, she wouldn't have as much fun. And to that, we walk through life together and enjoy the benefits of one another. And this isn't the subject matter, but I will tell you this. The things that we enjoy and benefit from each other are also the things that tick us off. And it's a quick line between jumping from I benefit and I appreciate to that ticks me off, you know? And so you have to be very careful about that in your relationship. Well, we have four children. Two are here. Two are not here. We're sorry about the two not being here. They're sorry. They're very sad. They just had previous commitments. And the last thing I'll say is I've been a pastor since 1997. I took the long way around. I felt kind of called in high school. I felt like the Lord was stirring something there, but I just wasn't sure. And I always thought, how do you know? How do you know if you're called or if you're just deciding to do it? So I basically said, I'll go this way, Lord, and if you want me, come get me. And I didn't rebel. I didn't go off the deep end. I decided to be a teacher and a coach. That's kind of pastoring just without the Holy Spirit. And so I went that way. And then finally, at some point, the Lord just made it clear that I should do that. And together we decided that that was the right thing. And so here we are today and very pleased to be with you guys. The subject matter is intentional families. All week long, intentional families. There'll be different facets of being intentional. Like I already said, I've got some part of a problem because this is an area I have to work at very hard. But it's helpful for me to be aware of that and to be working at that. But I'm also aware that I'm not alone. And that this idea of really intentionally responding is a big issue. And so I hope that as we go through this process of looking at this intentionality, that we can all take some strides in an area that I think the church at large, the Christian community, suffers in a little bit, maybe quite a bit. And so I'm glad to be dealing with this subject. The other beef I have is this. I studied for many hours on this, and this first week especially, I decided to use the same passage and to share on that. And in a half an hour, our small group hit all the points. And with no study, they just read them and they did them. So I put in a lot of elbow grease, so we're basically done for this morning because I think you guys have all discussed all these things and there's not much more to add. But it was really nice just to sit there together and have people really share the things that were coming up. But I do want to say this kind of seriously. Today's will be a little bit different than the days in the next following days. Today we're going to use the same passage, and it'll be kind of a wrap-up of what we have talked about, just from some thoughts that I've put together. So, but it will be wrapping up some things that are very familiar to you. So I don't think it will enlighten you with all kinds of new thoughts, but maybe put it together to organize it so that we come away with something that we can really hold on this idea of intentional response. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm not even going to read our passage. It is Luke 5, 1 through 11. And it's a great story. And Jesus wants to preach to the people, and he uses Peter's boat, and he goes out, and he preaches. And then when he's done, he tells these fishermen who have worked hard all night long and have caught nothing to go ahead and throw their nets in. And who knows what was really going through their head, but they did communicate some of it. They said, well, are you kidding? We've been doing this all night, and you're asking us to do this now in the middle of the day after we're tired? And they did it, and they have a hauling that they have never had before. Their boat's sinking, their nets are ripping, and it stirs Peter to the point of falling to Jesus' knees and saying, I'm a sinful man. I can't even be in your presence, really. I'm a sinful man. So there's the passage. From that, I'd like to take just a few bullet points for us so that we can organize that in our heads so that as we walk away from here, we can get a concept of the principles that we need to apply to our lives in this intentional response, because I think it comes out in so many different ways. The first of all, this call to action, let me say this, the big call of this story is follow me, right? That's the big call. We all have that big call, either looming or having occurred, you know? The question is, are we responding to that call? That's the big call. So when I say big call, the rest of the day, you'll know what we're talking about, following him. But I'd like to say that there's several intermediate calls, isn't there? There's several intermediate calls. The first thing is, let me use your boat. There's an intermediate call, and he has to respond one way or another. Then the second one is, go fishing now. And that's another intermediate call. And just so that we can identify a little bit with that, our big call is follow God. That's our big call. You know what some intermediate calls are? Be the husband you should be. Be the wife you should be. Be the parent you should be. Be the employee you should be. Be the employer you should be. Be the whatever. You fill in the blanks. But there's all kinds of intermediate calls. So when we look at an intentional response today, it's not just to the big one. It certainly is to the big one. But there's all kinds of intentional responses that we must have to all these calls that we have in our life. I think we would all agree at that. So let me start by saying this. My first thought on this is the call to action, whether big or intermediate or even small, the call is not always easy. Now you can see that here in this passage, because put yourself in that time, in Peter and the other guy's shoes, fishing all night. It's the end of a long day. And it was a poor day. It did not go the way that it was supposed to, and it was a rough day. And the call happens now. I think in our small group, somebody was saying, really? Now? You're asking me to do this? And the call does not always come at the opportune time, and it's not always easy. Quickly relate that to your own life, because all these things, you know, this idea of intentionality, sure, we all want to be who we should be. We all want to be the father or the mother or the wife or the husband or the whatever. We all want to be, but there's so many times when not now. Don't require that of me now. I've had a rough day. I am allowed to check out of my calling and then check back into my calling when I say I'm ready. You know, that's kind of what we think about oftentimes. But the calling is not always easy. We need to understand that in our life. You know, sometimes we get confused because we hear the calling at the end of a nice emotional concert. And the calling is, come receive the peace and the contentment and the joy that you'll always have. And that calling just feels like, oh, yes, yes. But you know what? That's true. But the calling is also very annoying to our lifestyle. It disrupts who we are, what we hold dear even, because we've held on to all these other things that can be in the way. And sometimes the calling, and Virginia was, I was halfway going to the restroom or not coming in, but I heard her talking about making you uncomfortable. The calling might make you uncomfortable. The question is, do we have an intentional response to God when it's even uncomfortable and when it's hard? And I think the answer is yes. There's several reasons why it's hard. Number one, you're asked to step outside the norm. This was outside the norm. Fishermen didn't fish in the day. They were washing their nets for a reason. They'd worked all night. They work a different shift. Asking a fisherman to fish in the day, that's not normal. It would be easy to say, let me explain something to you. You don't do it this way. This is not how fish is caught. I know how fish are caught. And so it's out of the norm. The other thing is sometimes it's flat out stepping on toes. When God calls you, it might step on your toes, meaning it might play with the area that you think is your expertise. You might think that you have this down. Okay, I can see you needing to get me in this area, but don't talk to me about this area because I got this covered. And how interesting that the Lord might call any of us in a way that doesn't coincide with our human understanding and where we stand in our expertise. But we can see from this story that, yes, he does. I think of a couple examples. Our church was in the middle of buying a building and doing some work, and so we were talking with the different financial institutions, and there's a lending institution near us that works primarily with churches. In fact, not primarily, exclusively with churches. And it's interesting because they're all believers. And it's a wonderful place. Maybe some of you even work there, but I'll just leave out the company. But this company was told 25 or 28, I forget how long ago they started, but it was told by the industry people, you're nuts for lending to institutions where the income is based on voluntary giving. That is suicide. Do not do that. And no one would insure them or take care of them or back them because they said, this plan does not make sense. And it was so wonderful because at the time that we were talking to them, before the economy tanked, this institution had not one default on their books in over 20 years. Now, I will tell you this, just to be real with the economy, sadly enough, there's been a lot of defaults. But I don't think that that's because it's with churches. It's because there's defaults everywhere with the turn of the economy. But there's a case right there where the leaders of this company were called out of the norm to do something that didn't make sense. And they did it. And they're not only a successful company, but more important to me, they're a pleasure to deal with. They're partners with you, and they work with you, and they'll be the first to tell you. The first time we contacted them, they said, you're not ready. You know, your ratios need to be a little bit differently. This would be not a good thing for you. They were turning down business because they were in our court. And that's a call. That company has understood their call. But I will tell you this, it was way out of the norm. And I even think of Chick-fil-A. You know, maybe they're not perfect, but they're run by believers. And how does a food place exist where they're closed on a major day in the weekend? How does that happen? They're called out of the norm. And we'll oftentimes say, no, that can't be. I can't be called this way. Or, yeah, I know that sounds like that's what I should do, but you don't understand. I know this industry. I know my area. I know my expertise. And it hinders us from responding intentionally, affirmatively with our Lord. Not only that, just briefly, physically challenging. You know, these guys were tired. And I know that many of you can duplicate this story in your own life, but there was a time recently, it was just about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, where I had the most exhausting Friday. It was just back to back to back from one face to face. you know, it's exhausting face to face and with heavy issues. And it was just all day long. Boom, boom, boom. And my wife was even aware of it. And she knew that I was going to have a rough day. And she just said, oh, you're going to be exhausted when you come home. So when I came home, we ate dinner. And she says, go sit on the couch and just start to veg. And I sat down and went, oh, and my phone rang. And as soon as I picked up the phone, there was someone on the other line that said, can you come over? They didn't give me any details. And I said, what's up? Sounds like something's up. And they said, yeah, can you come over? They didn't tell me anything, but it was, you could just tell. And so I said, I'll be right over. And Carrie says, what was that? And I said, I got to go to so-and-so's house. And she says, oh. And so I went and spent probably a couple hours there. When I left out of there, I had a text on my phone. And on my phone, it said from my wife, I'm on the way to the hospital. Meet me there in L.A. We live in Orange County. So she had already gotten a ride with somebody because our worship pastor's daughter, who has had physical ailments since the day she was born, was on the verge of passing away. So after that long Friday and then that impromptu meeting, and then now we're jumping on the freeway to go to L.A. to go spend till 2 o'clock in the morning at the bedside of a daughter that's about to pass away. And then we come home and say, whoo, thank you, Lord, for getting us through that. And we wake up the next morning, and there's a meeting as a repercussion of the phone call that I had. And so there's a meeting that goes on immediately there that lasted 3 hours. And then at the end of that, I had a meeting with another person whose wife had just passed away, putting together the service to do that. And then when that was over, we had a ballet outreach that our church had been doing in the community. We had all kinds of unbelievers that were coming to our church at 4:30. And I needed to be there, so we were there. And then while we were there, we got another call from the people in L.A. again saying, okay, it looks like now's the time. So we left the ballet straight from there and went. And we were there till 12 o'clock at night that Saturday night. And the next day was Sunday, my busy day. Now, look, this is not poor me. This is poor us. You have those days. You've had those schedules. As I'm talking, you're going, yeah, you should hear mine. And you have them. The point is, when you receive the call, you know, literally, but figuratively from God, that things need to be done, oftentimes it's even physically challenging. So there's many ways that it's not easy, many ways. And I'll be the first to tell you that I totally understand the idea of wanting to come home and veg, dare I say, in front of the TV. I'm with you. I won't hide that. I will come home and need to say hi, and how are you doing, and what's on the tap for tonight? Oh, good. Let's do nothing. But you know what? That's when the time is right, but that is not over and beyond what the Lord is capable of in those intermediate calls. And sometimes that call may not be a phone call. It might be your 13-year-old daughter wanting to talk from her heart at that time. When you're exhausted and you want to do nothing and you deserve to do nothing, but when your 13-year-old daughter wants to talk from her heart, there's your call. There's your call. And do you intentionally respond, or do you just, I'll get to that in a little bit. That's the question for us. How do we respond to these things? So yes, it's physically challenging and then ego challenging. Picture what it was like for Peter, the fisherman, to be told by a carpenter how to do this, and it was the best haul he'd ever made in his life. That's just ego challenging, isn't it? I probably need to speak to the men right now on the ego thing. We have big egos, and it's hard when it doesn't, you know, match up to what we want to look like or be. And then the last thing I'll say that makes it difficult is culturally challenging. If you're going to live for the Lord today, and you're going to live at least in America, I live in Southern California, so maybe my concept is skewed even more. But if you're going to live in the culture that we live, you're going to step on that culture if you're answering the call. And for us to think that we answer the call and keep everybody happy in culture, it's not going to happen. It just won't happen. And whatever your example is, I don't have to tell you. You know what it is. Whether your kids are in soccer, or whether your kids are in plays, or whether your kids are artists, or whether they're musicians, or whatever they are, you're going to have to step on culture's toes. Or be swept away and be categorized as an unintentional responder. Responding intentionally demands that we're ready to not be swept away in the culture that we face. And that's pretty tough. Well, there's two significant phrases as well. So the first thing is this, that the call isn't always easy. It's not always at the right time. It's difficult. So there's point one. But here's another bullet point. It's a significant phrase. But because you say so. That's what Peter said. But because you say so. I wanted so badly to tell that phone call. Can't do it. Won't be there. But because you say so and because your call, I'll go. And my wife knew I was tired and I knew I was tired. And we just looked at each other and went, this is just one of those times. Because you say so. Now, I gave you an example when I responded correctly. If we had a lot of time, I could fill you up with all kinds of times when I don't respond correctly. But this idea, just because God says so, when the Lord speaks to us, it has to mean something. Do we really place the Lord below these things of this world? Do we place God, the creator of the universe, the one that gives us every breath of life, that sustains us, that provides everything that we need, do we put him below our job? Do we put him below our boat that we're saving for? Do we put him below our toys? Or when he speaks, do we listen? Because he said so. What an important line. The interesting thing here is, because he said so might be when it doesn't make sense. Even to us humanly, it doesn't quite make sense. Now, I want to say this carefully, because I don't want us to be recklessly abandoned in our perception of spirituality, where we negate all kinds of human reason and we just go through life saying, okay, what do you want me to do, Lord? Okay, I'll do that. And we have this perception and go that way. There's human reason. There's logic and there is common sense. But the way I'd like to phrase it, not apart from common sense, but beyond common sense. Because sometimes God speaks beyond common sense. And I want to tell you, I'm living proof of that. It made no common sense for my wife and I to get married from 7 months from the day we met to the day we were giving our vows. We would have blown a gasket if any of our kids would come home right now and say, someone I met 7 months ago, I'm getting married. Hope you can make the wedding. We would go nuts. That would be so crazy. That doesn't make sense. But I want to tell you, our God is capable of functioning beyond common sense. Not apart from it, but beyond it. And to see that take place in our life, that was very helpful for us to know that there are times when we need to understand that he might speak something, the call might call, in a way that we're saying, oh boy, I just can't get that, but... Because you said so. There's another thing in my life, in even becoming the senior pastor at the church that I'm in. My father was the pastor there for 42 years. And I had two professors at seminary that took me aside and said, whatever you do, do not follow in your father's footsteps at that church. And I said, that makes sense. Because it did. Because their reasoning was, no matter who it's going to be, the next person after somebody, he's not talking about my father particularly, just anybody that follows somebody after 42 years, the next person is a sacrificial lamb. They will take the brunt of everything, and they will last about 1.3 years and be gone. And they were saying, don't take that position. And that made a lot of sense. Well, I don't have time to tell you the whole process of the call, but we were aware of that enough to the point when the church first started talking to us about that, we said, we don't think we're the next one. So we are going to decline, and we would like to not be on that list. But here's what's crazy. Over the next year and a half, the Lord moved beyond common sense and placed it on our heart and the hearts of the people, because we shared with our elders and with many people around us, look, this is the reason why we shouldn't do it. And the Lord placed it on our hearts that even if it required being the sacrificial lamb, we should do it. So we didn't know if that meant we were guaranteed a 20-year contract. It might be a 1.3-year contract. But it felt clear enough to us, someone's got to do it, and we feel the Lord is calling us. So although that made a lot of sense from our professors over here, the body and the confirmation of the saints and the Holy Spirit convicting us and bearing witness with our spirit, and it didn't conflict anything with God's word, we went back to the elders at one point and said, look, we're open to think about this if the Lord confirms it in your hearts as well as our hearts. So let's go through the process. And the Lord placed us there. And so we've just been able to see that the Lord functions beyond, not apart from, beyond common sense. I hope we can get that as we move forward. Because you say so, the last thing I'd like to say about that is too often we as parents are afraid to say so with our children. We want to be their friend and we want our children to like us. I want to be clear about this. Our ability to receive in an authoritative way from God is not completely determinative, but enhanced or negated by what we're used to doing on earth. I think that was pretty confusing, but let me try to say it another way. Our kids will learn how to respond to God by learning to respond to us. And if they don't have it in them anywhere to just say, well, because my parents said so, then it's going to be a difficult time for them when God calls them beyond common sense, for them to be able to say, I'll do it because you said so. So there is big value in not abusing our children, but enforcing the idea that because I said so. And that doesn't mean a license to be an uncommunicative jerk to your kids. Because I said so, you know. But this concept of helping them understand, look, God placed you under me. And I might not be the best in the whole world, but I'm doing the best I can. And so you are called to listen to me. So we can either do this where you listen or whether you fight, but either way, you're going to need to respond. Because I said so. And that's not a selfish thing on our parents' parts when done with the loving attitude. That's in preparation for Peter here saying, Lord, but because I said so, because you said so. So that's just a little helpful encouragement to try to understand that as we are called to raise our children in understanding of who our authority is. Okay. Then another interesting line, when they had done so. There's another line in that passage. When they had done so. When they had done what? When they had done this ridiculous request. When they'd done this thing as fishermen that a carpenter was telling them to do that made no sense and was out of the norm and was frustrating and physically demanding and not the right time. But when they had done so, they had the hauling of their lives. Don't you get the feeling? And I know you know this. This was not about fishing tips. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is the obedience to their call. That's what it is. When they had done so, a real important block in that whole tower. When they had done so. You know, we see this in the Old Testament, those Deuteronomy 28 passages, basically to paraphrase, look, you obey me, I will bless you. You disobey me, we'll change blessing to curse. You know, there's a lot of important truth in that. When we have these fishermen that could have squawked, they could have complained. But when, because he said so, they did so. What a wonderful thing. Well then, when Simon Peter saw this and he fell at Jesus' knees, I think for the first time, he knew who he was. I hate to pick on the men, but it's because I'm a man and I know what's in me. And I know that I try to be so self-sustaining, self-contained, self-reliant. And I just can't help but think that this hit Peter right between the eyes. Me, the professional fisherman who's had my whole life of training and expertise, and I read the sea like no one else, and I know all the techniques, I know all the hot spots. I could come up with nothing. And here in this call of this crazy thing, I have the biggest haul ever. That was a major ego bruise right there. But sometimes it's that ego bruise that lets us know who we are. And at that point, we can now respond in the appropriate way. Because quite honestly, and my wife will attest to this, there were times in my life where I thought God was fortunate to have me. Boy, did you pick the right guy. And I really, I probably didn't say that, but I functioned like that. And it wasn't until he slapped my ego around over and over in demonstrating that without him, I am nothing. With him, it's limitless. And that's just an important thing for us to understand, because otherwise we're, even in that intentional response, we can show up with the wrong agenda, the wrong attitude, and we're going to be missing, even though we're saying we're responding to God. Well, if you don't know who you are, really, you can't respond to God. So it was wonderful to see Peter at that point just get on his knees right before Jesus and make a really clear statement who he was and who Jesus was. That's the initial stage of our big answer. If we don't have that wired yet, don't take this wrong, but don't do all the other stuff. Don't go through the motions. And try to look religious and spiritual. You know, if you don't know that you're in need of a Savior, wait till you understand it. And listen closer. Because the call's there for all of us. And it's when we understand that and understand who our Savior is Then all of a sudden, we can respond and mysteries are taken away. You know, sometimes we're wondering, why? Why did this happen? What's going on? And then when we have a better picture of who we are, all of a sudden we look back and we say, wow, that's why. There it is. That's why. So just to wrap up our little bullet points, put divine instruction over common sense. Not replace it, not instead of it, but put it over it. Just so that we function in common sense, but be aware that our Lord can go beyond. So be sensitive to that. And then the second thing, obey in spite of the consequences, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of your exhaustion, in spite of the things that you think, in spite of the culture, in spite, just obey. Then the next thing that's really wonderful is expect to receive unexplainable blessings. That fish, that hauling was unexplainable. There's no answer for that. And we need to expect that. Now, it's easy to take from this story that this is all a monetary thing. Oh, if we just follow God, then my business will go well. And I want to tell you, there's a good chance that'll happen. But there are those where God calls to teach them something more than business practices. And he wants to call them in their heart and teach them other things. And the blessings waiting for them are not necessarily a monetary gain, but in knowing him more. And what a blessing that is. The obedience to God opens us up to blessings beyond what we would ever know. We crack up in our family because of the car that I drive. It's a junky 1985 Ford, Toyota pickup. It's got no air conditioning, no power steering. I have bursitis in both shoulders from that. And it didn't even have a radio, but I put a radio in it. And you know why I drive that? First of all, we got too many drivers in the house, and it's the only one I could afford, really. But I love that truck because it's enough. And the blessings that we have are not in our cars, in our home, or in all these other things. And by the way, I'm not bad-mouthing those of you that the Lord has blessed you with those things. He does that. He blesses people in those ways. He has not blessed us in that way. But I want to tell you this. We feel blessed more than you can imagine. In so many ways. And I think we've gotten to see that correlation between trusting God and responding to him and him just pouring blessing on us. So expect blessing. And then the last point kind of recapping. Refocus on who we really are before our Lord and his call in our lives. What's your call today? Are you dealing with the big call? Or are you dealing with the intermediate call? My only point is, know who you are and listen. And then see what he's going to tell you. And trust him in that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story of Peter. Thank you for how we can relate to it. And we even thank you that you are beyond what things in life even tell us. This life is short-sighted. What we see is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. And we thank you for that. But we need your help to strengthen us to be able to even experience that. So I pray that you would help us in our intentional response. That you'd guide us and you'd strengthen us. And we pray that as we talk about it this week, that you just do this in us. Help this be a shot in the arm or maybe a refresher course. Maybe it's brand new. But we pray that you would really work in each one of our lives to be able to respond to you in the way that you're calling us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.